Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shimaru Entertainment Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Jain Kunia from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Nupur Jain Kunia from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Shimaru Entertainment Limited. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 2025. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Hiren Gada, CEO, Mr. Ogya Chakrabarty, COO, and Mr. Amit Harya, CFO of the company. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Amit Harya to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nupur, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 2025. Let me first start by giving you some of the key financial highlights, after which our CEO, Mr. Hiren Gada, will give you some of the operational highlights. For Q4 FY25, the revenue from operations stood at around 204 crores, which was a growth of approximately 3% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was around 2.4 crores, and there was a net loss of around 5 crores for the quarter. For the financial year ended 2025, the revenue from operations stood at around 685 crores, which declined by 3% year-on-year. EBITDA loss stood at 80 crores and net loss was reported at around 85 crores. In Q4 FY25, the expenses related to new initiatives amounted to around 15 crores, while for financial year 2025, it was about 51 crores. If you were to adjust these investments, the adjusted EBITDA in Q4 would have been approximately INR 17 crores and EBITDA loss for the financial year end would have been approximately INR 29 crores. Digital media revenues for the fourth quarter stood at around 57 crores, up by 1.25% year-on-year. For the full financial year, it was around 252 crores, which was a growth of approximately 11%. Traditional media revenue for the fourth quarter stood at around 148 crores, which increased by 3.3% year-on-year, while for the full year it was around 433 crores, a decline of 9.69% year-on-year. Now I would request our CEO, Mr. Hiren Gada, to give you the operational highlights for the period under review.
Thank you, Amit, and good afternoon, everyone. The company has posted its first positive EBITDA in 6 quarters, primarily driven by materialization of deferred B2B deals. This was despite the impact of accelerated inventory charge-off. It is important to note that this should be viewed as a non-recurring event, given the nature of the B2B licensing business. The consolidation of the broadcasting industry during the financial year led to a significant decline of our TV syndication business, which in turn dragged down the overall top line of the company for the financial year. If we were to exclude the TV syndication B2B business, the company's revenue recorded a growth of around 8.3% year-on-year for the full year, despite a challenging advertising environment. Given the ongoing macroeconomic pressures, geopolitical tensions and major sporting events like IPL, the overall advertising outlook is expected to remain subdued in the near term, particularly for non-sports category. Furthermore, the return of the major broadcasters, GECs, to the free dish platform is expected to affect the viewership across all categories and lead to redistribution of advertising spend. We are actively monitoring the impact and we are realigning our investment strategy and taking cost rationalization measures as the market dynamics evolve. The company's margins are expected to remain under pressure due to ongoing accelerated inventory charge-off, a strategic initiative that we started undertaking 5 quarters ago. These charge-offs are continuing, are accounting adjustments with no effect on the content monetization or the company's ability to generate free cash flows on this content. In other updates, for Shimaru Me Gujarati, we released 13 new titles during the quarter with content across movies, web series and plays. Along with digital world premiere of blockbuster movies The Great Gujarati Matrimony, Maruman Taru Chayu, Fodi Leshu Yaar, Kale Lagan Che, Kitta Kitta, and the release of original web series Arrange With Love and Matli Chirani. On YouTube, Shimaru Filmi Gaane crossed 71 million subscribers this quarter. The company garnered more than 10.5 billion views during the quarter across its portfolio channels. In broadcasting, the GEC channels have a viewership share of around 8.2% in the overall Hindi GEC genre. Two original shows were released during the quarter, Badi Haveli Ki Choti Thakurain and Jamunia. Looking ahead to the next fiscal, the company remains committed to strengthening its balance sheet and enhancing operational efficiency, positioning itself to unlock substantial long-term intrinsic value. With that, I open the question to the floor. I open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touch-tone phones. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have a first question from the line of Yash Kukreja from Equity Capital. Please go ahead. We have a first question from the line of Yash Kukreja from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for the opportunity. In your previous comments, you mentioned that some B2B deals are non-recurring. So, could you share the quantum of that? And also, given the current demand scenario, how are you anticipating FY26 to shape up?
So, okay. So basically this is content licensing, which has been our business overall. This year it got affected due to the merger. And these deals are lumpy in nature essentially. So that's why we call it non-recurring. Unfortunately, I'm not in a position to give you the details of the value. But to suffice to say that this year it has impacted our top line. In fact, the major contributor to the top line degrowth has actually been this business. I believe the outlook for the next year is positive. We should be the business should be on a higher number than where we have done this year. We have enough content pipeline on offer as well as on the acquisition pipeline. So I think that this should be a better year for that business.
Okay, got it. And so my second question is on the operation side. So currently we have 4 channels. So have any of them broken even yet? And if not, what is the typical break-even timeline for a channel?
actually two of our channels are, so one has in fact broken even more than a year, actually probably I would imagine almost it last nearly 1.5 years ago. One more channel is in a, you can say, near break even, very low investment or burn kind of a situation. The major investment, if I have to put it, is on Shemaru Umang, where the originals, etc., are being invested in original content. So that's really the channel which kind of is taking up substantial part of the investment.
Okay. Got it. Sir, and my last question is, if I exclude the inventory write-off that we have done in FY25, we are largely flat on PBT levels. So, sir, what is the roadmap to achieve PAT profitability? So, will it be led by B2B scaling or do you see some cost rationalization on the way?
No, we are not flat on PBT level. What makes you think we are flat?
Yes, sir, considering if I add back that 114 crore inventory write-off that we have done in FY25, so we would have been flat on PBT levels.
No, we have not written off 115 crores. The charge-off has been significantly higher than that.
Correct. So this is the accelerated write-off that we were talking about.
Sorry?
So this was the accelerated write-off that we were...
Yes, the accelerated charge-off has been significantly higher than this PBT loss of 115 crores.
Okay, I'll come back in queue, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, so just to clarify or put the this thing, the accelerated charge-off for total for the year is significantly higher than the loss. So if I have to actually add back that amount, the PBT would have been reasonably positive. In fact, a decent amount positive. Yeah.
Sir, could you tell me the total write-off that we have done?
Accelerated write-off for the year...
Just give me 2 minutes. I'll get
the 200. No, sir, I'll come back
in. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Ronak Pathak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Sir, I have two questions, sir. What is the ROCE and ROE, return on equity, if this accelerated inventory charge-off process was not taken?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I did not understand the question.
Sir, what would be the return on capital employed and return on equity if the accelerated inventory charge-off process which we are taking, that process would not have been taken up?
This you are asking at a company level or for that specific inventory which is being charged?
No, sir, whole company level.
For the company level. So, which in fact is what the previous question also we were trying to address. So, more than return on capital or return on net worth, I think what we have is, So the accelerated, while the exact number is not available, but I can give a range, it has been in the range of between around 155, between 150 to 160 crores accelerated charge-off. So if you add that back, then the PBT would be positive by about 40 odd crores.
Okay. And sir, I have second question, sir, that the U.S. tariff, which recently some news came that U.S. government has put some tariffs, so that U.S. tariff, does it impact our business or company's performance in FY26?
As of now, there is no order that has come in, so we don't know what is the nature or the basis on which this is going to be applicable. There are multiple interpretations, and the industry bodies are also examining. I am also on a few of the industry bodies, and I know that there is an active representation that is being prepared, and an active dialogue is being initiated with the relevant authorities. However, there are two interpretations. One is that this is actually probably meant for U.S. produced films or U.S. Produced films which are shot outside USA, and not really intended to impact foreign films. Because by nature, a foreign film is going to be shot in its local territory or local country. So this is how one interpretation is there. But we are, you know, examining it. And secondly, this is probably also likely to be the case for new releases and not really for a lot of the catalog content that we deal with. So but like I said, since we don't have any official order on this, there is a lot of speculation going on right now in terms of how it will impact different parts of the business. My personal estimate, at this point, I personally think it is not going to have any major impact. While all of this will be examined and we don't think it is intended for any foreign films. It is more, this is a personal view, and I don't think it is intended for foreign films. It is because a lot of Hollywood films were being shot outside USA due to different subsidies and different other points, which kind of led to a degrowth in the Hollywood's own ecosystem.
U.S. economy.
Yeah, so which I believe this is, more to arrest that rather than to say that we will stop, or we will tax foreign films, at those rates.
Okay, sir. And sir, one more question, sir. Just in Wave Summit, which recently happened, so there was a lot of buzz of D2M, launch of D2M. So, sir, can you help me to understand that this technology maybe it would roll out in just, I think, FY26. So when this technology comes in phone and fully becomes implemented, so can this turn around the company's performance?
You're saying direct to mobile, right?
Yes, D2M, direct to mobile technology.
We have to see, finally, direct to mobile also will have to go through some, if we have to see the revenue mechanism, it will have to go through some or the other provider, like say an app or some kind of a thing. So right now the government has itself launched Waves, but there are other, apps like YouTube, Netflix, our own app Shemarumi, etc., Jio Hotstar, etc. So essentially, it may be one more mechanism to distribute those apps is probably one of the things. We are examining that technology. We have a full technology stack in place in terms of our own readiness. So that I don't think is an issue. If one more delivery mechanism opens up, we'll be happy to adopt that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Yash Kukreja from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking up the follow-up question. So, sir, my question is on debt reduction guidance that you had given. So, you had said we will reduce the debt by 100 crores in the next 2 years. So, we have almost reduced it by 37 crores in FY25. So, sir, are we on track to reduce around 60 crores in FY26?
We are on track and our aim is to achieve the guidance that we have given. However, considering the market changes with respect to the Big Four entry, we are constantly evaluating the requirement of any further investment and we'll keep you updated on the same.
Okay. And sir, my last question is, sir, how much write-off are we planning to do in FY26? And sir, why are we not taking the full write-off in one go?
The accelerated charge off, I would imagine, would be similar, marginally plus or minus of the number as we have shared. So we have on the why not in one go, we have kind of consulted different consultants, right, from, you know, tax to different consultants about this and auditors and a lot of, you know, people involved in the process. And it was based on that advice we received from everyone that we decided to do it on a quarterly basis.
Okay, so the quarterly run rate will be around 30-35 crore per quarter?
Yeah, around the same.
Yeah, as I said, the amount for this year would be roughly similar to marginally, you know, maybe in a 5% range of what it has been on for FY25. And just to add to that, FY26 is the last part of this charge off. After that, we are done with the accelerated part. Then we are on a normal trajectory.
Got it, sir. And sir, any update on the new channel, launch of new channel?
No, currently we have no plan. As I shared in my opening comments, the Big Four GECs have entered on the free dish platform, and as a result of that, the viewership shares and you know a lot of things, there has been a significant change in that, and we are currently on a close watch kind of a mode and trying to ensure that the impact on us is minimized in terms of the revenue as well as ratings overall as a network.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next participant from the line of Manvardhan Baid from Laurel Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just wanted to get some understanding about this acquisition that we have made and what does this acquisition bring on the table for us.
Yeah, so basically the IKEM is the acquisition that we have made. They essentially hold the broadcast licenses which are operating, the underlying broadcast licenses on which we are operating Shimaru TV, Shimaru Umang and Shimaru Marathi Bana. So essentially what it does is it brings in the end-to-end control of the broadcast right from the licensing part. The rest of the operations anyway was being handled by us, but because we were not the owner of the license underlying license, you know, that was always a challenge from a long-term point of view. So, you know, it's kind of fortifying the business more strongly. It will have some cost saving margin, nominal cost saving of the rent that we were paying for it. Kind of it, broadly, that is the essentially the objective.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ronak Pathak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, in terms of our TV channel, what is the viewership of Simaru Filmi Gaane? I'm asking Simaru Filmi Gaane, not YouTube channel, or television channel. And Chumbak TV and the new channel which we launched recently, Devi Gam, a Tamil devotional channel.
Yeah, so I will just clarify. Simaru Filmi Gaane is not a TV channel. It's a channel on YouTube. And that numbers are, we have shared in terms of the subscriber numbers, etc., which I shared in my opening remarks, which has crossed 71 million subscribers. The Tamil channel that you spoke of is actually not really a channel. It is a subscription service on the DTH platform we have launched with Tata Play. So it is a paid, just like we have our other Tata Play Bollywood Premier, Tata Play Bollywood Classic, etc., Tata Play Comedy, etc. It's in those lines. It's a paid subscription channel that Tata Play and we, so we are the content partner and Tata Play is operating the service for that. It's a value-added service on a DTH this thing platform. The third channel that you spoke of is Chumbak. Chumbak is the channel which we are operating on the Free Dish platform. And Chumbak, in fact, has been on a good growth path. This last recent rating also we have for Chumbak have been kind of on a fresh new high. And in fact, it's one of the few channels which has not been impacted by the entry of the big four large broadcasters on the Free Dish platform.
And sir, Simaru Filmi Gaane, I was asking that one which in Jio TV, that one, which is telecasted in Jio TV.
Yeah, that is just like an IPTV channel. It's not really a broadcast. It's just a linear feed of songs that we have put up. It's not really a broadcast channel. So in a different way, you can say that we are, you know, early testing these, you know, connected TV based or IPTV kind of channels. This is more an experiment or something. It's not really something which is currently being, you know, the monetization model over there is still nebulous.
Okay. And sir, has Chumbak TV reached its the break-even point or is it yet to achieve?
So, Chumbak TV has not reached break-even point, but it is, it has, as I shared earlier, that the ratings have been on a growth path and it has in fact not gotten affected by the entry of these big four on the Free Dish platform. So we the outlook for Chumbak to break even is quite positive. So we are actually on a good trajectory and a good path for Chumbak TV.
And sir, last question, sir, there are many large production foreign house who are outsourcing their animation and VFX work to other companies. So, since you are having presence in studios, so are you involved in doing that kind of service? Means the service which they outsource of doing animation and VFX, you take, do for them and deliver them?
No, we don't run a VFX or animation studio. In fact, whatever content that we have ourselves produced has also been outsourced to other studios that we have done, we have worked with. We ourselves, as of now, our core business has been much more around the ownership of IPR. So, you know, not really been focusing on doing the outsourced kind of work.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. I repeat, any participant who wish to ask a question may press star and one. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in the Q4 earnings call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers, Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Shimaru Entertainment Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.